I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So officials are bracing for a surge of migrants at the border, which would exacerbate an already challenging humanitarian crisis amid unprecedented mass migration in the Western Hemisphere. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has already seen an uptick in migrants leading up to this coming Thursday. And a Homeland Security official said 25,000 migrants are already in custody with facilities over capacity.
That's a pretty frightening scenario, is it not? And that is according to a CNN report, and it was done well. It was done in the factual fashion by the CNN political director. And when he's explaining this, he's making it clear these are facts. They cannot be denied. The White House and KJP, the White House spokeswoman, can go on and on about nobody's really crossing the border, walking across. That doesn't happen. The video says it does. I'll get more into the CNN political director, David Chalian, and his basic, complete, and at the same time, very correct report on the border crisis. And the reason I want to emphasize that, there are many times CNN, NNN, and the rest of the state-controlled media start taking a legitimate story, editorializing, commenting through it, until finally you don't really have facts, you have confusion. We'll break it down for you. This is May 9, 2023. Glad to have you with us. Reminding you, during the noon hour, we do a live stream Rumble for 2 hours. You can join us if you miss it. You can also later pull it up on podcast. If you want to join it live, you go to rumble.com, enter Larry Connors, USA, or enter News Talk STL. We appear on both channels. And again, if you miss either the Rumble or the live broadcast, you can certainly pull that up as well at LarryConnorsUSA.com. The crisis we've been telling you is coming for May 11th. Here we are, May 9, so we're talking about Thursday. That is when Title 42 is dropped because the Biden administration wants to basically flood our nation with illegals. And the Republicans are trying to come up with a way to hold it off. Tomorrow, and possibly it will have to be Thursday before they actually get it done, and that by then we're into May 11. So it's not clear if the Title 42 will end the morning of May 11 or at the end of that day and actually May 12, but everything has been targeted for May 11. But the Republicans are pushing forward with a border reform bill that would reduce the federal government's ability to extract economic migrants from poor countries. In fact, they want to codify what we used to have. In fact, the Government Relations Director at Numbers USA said the pending GOP border protection bill is a huge deal, saying this is a GOP blueprint for 2025 if a Republican is elected to the White House. The White House already made it clear that we will veto. It says the bill would cut off nearly all access for migrants to humanitarian protections in ways that are inconsistent with our nation's values and international obligations. Stop it right there. Just stop it. Full stop. We have immigration laws. We bring millions into this country under our immigration laws legally. And we have asylum for those who truly need asylum. But when they get out of the country where they were under a dictatorship, then they no longer are under that control. So they have their asylum. Many of those coming across the border on May 11, the hundreds of thousands that are massed along the border, 700,000 was one count. It's far beyond that and growing. And by the way, some have already just started going across the border because they know what's the difference of another day. They're not going to keep us. And I want to make sure I get in case it is shut down. Many are coming for economic reasons. We can all sympathize and understand that. If you had your family and you wanted to improve their lives and you thought, you know, this is our chance to get into the USA. We don't have to wait for years. We just go. You would do it. And I would understand that. But we can't allow that. This Biden administration doesn't care because they believe that they're actually going to have in the midst of that additional votes. They're making a bad mistake there. These are not necessarily going to translate into Democrat votes. So once again, do the CNN report as it was, and again, I give them credit for giving a good, clear understanding of the story. The CNN political director, David Chalian, talking about what the Biden plan is.
The Biden administration continues to say they have a plan in place, which includes a return to decades-old protocols. But lawmakers from both parties are criticizing the administration, including Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
While Texas is doing everything possible to try to stop people from crossing the border, at the very same time, the President of the United States is putting out the Welcome Act, welcoming them in.
Yeah. So they can do whatever they say, but at the same time, the Biden administration made it clear from the beginning, we have an open border. And Mayorkas the other day when asked, why do you think so many are coming? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. How could you not know? As Governor Abbott said, they put out the welcome mat. Now, here's an interesting twist. As you well know, Abbott and DeSantis have been busing these illegals into New York City, Washington, Chicago, Detroit, and New York City Mayor Adams said, this is racist. You're dumping all these people into the cities of black mayors. They're dumping them into Democrat-run cities. You say you're a sanctuary city and state. You should welcome them. But then when the rubber hits the road, we can't handle this. Oh, but see, New York City Mayor Adams has another idea. I'll let you hear that in a moment. But first, again, back to Chad Chalian, or rather Don Chalian of CNN, on exactly how this program is being viewed by New York City and other liberals, and they don't like it.
An internal Adams administration memo in New York says that more than 37,000 migrants are currently in the city's care, and New York is anticipating 800 migrants a day after Title 42 comes to an end. So to deal with this expected surge, Mayor Adams announced he's going to be sending willing migrants to Rockland County, just north of New York City. But of course, Rockland County is not at all happy about that, claiming Adams didn't give them any heads up and that they don't have the proper infrastructure for this influx.
Do you understand what New York City Mayor Adams is doing? He's doing exactly what Biden has done. And New York City Mayor Adams has complained to the Biden administration because the Biden administration also is responsible for jetting illegals all over the interior. And, of course, he's also doing the same thing that he's accusing Governor Abbott of doing, dumping illegals into my city. So now it's apparent that the New York City Mayor Adams says, you know what? We can get some of these people out of our area. Maybe we'll send them north of New York City into Rockland County, doing exactly the same thing that he's criticizing Greg Abbott for doing.
Of course, Rockland County is not at all happy about that, claiming Adams didn't give them any heads up and that they don't have the proper infrastructure for this influx. Rockland County declared a state of emergency. Meanwhile, El Paso, Texas, a border town, has also declared a state of emergency as hundreds of migrants are already camping out on the streets and the city is bracing for many more individuals after Title 42 officially expires. So the chaos is just beginning.
It's just beginning. And here's another little twist to this story. As I mentioned, you have New York City Mayor Adams upset because Governor Abbott and DeSantis have been sending and busing all of these people into cities that are basically Democrat controlled. Listen to this, please. Now, New York City Mayor Adams has decided, let's move them out of New York City and north into Rockland County, New York, and Rockland, New York itself. The results of the most recent election show that Rockland is Democrat. Solid majority Democrat. I would have thought if he wanted to send them somewhere, he would send them into a Republican area. Of course, not many around New York, period. But he's dumping them on another fellow Democrat. It's your problem now, but not mine. I'm washing my hands of it. Pontius Pilate had nothing to do with it. And, you know, most of these that he wants to bus out right now and send somewhere else are single males, without any family, without any children. Now, they might, again, be folks who came here looking for just a job, a new opportunity, either to send money back to their family or to get here and maybe bring their family later. They may be coming simply because we are the light for the world, in many cases, for freedom, jobs, prosperity. You are allowed to do what you can and achieve on your own. Or that, again, many of these single males coming across are gangsters and thugs. And if they're not actively already bringing drugs and so forth across, they will now become integral cogs of doing the same, referencing drugs, child trafficking, and everything else. Does anything in there make sense to you? I'd say no. We have more I want to share with you on that, and also looking at the federal deficit. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So if you're looking ahead to 2024 and the election, what do you think are going to be some of the big issues? Immigration, Roe v. Wade abortion ruling out of the court, overturning Roe v. Wade, basically finalizing that abortion is not law of the land. We already saw in the midterm elections how that probably did not give the Republicans the victory they were hoping. There was no red tsunami. There was a very weak wave against the shore, holding the House, getting control of the House, I should say, but not getting control of the Senate. And so whatever the Republicans pass in the House trying to codify a new immigration plan in violation of what Biden is trying to push forward will not get past the Senate. And then we have our culture wars that are going on. And then in the midst of that, we have all this transgender push ideology upon our children. This is going to also come down not only on the 2024 national stage, but the various county, state, city, school board issues. A lot of that will be across the board. There are voters who will be single issue voters. It will make no difference to them what's happening with the economy. It will make no difference to them what's happening with the immigration or anything except abortion, pro or con. That's all they're going to be concerned about. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, obviously, and I'm not going to tell you what you should be thinking. But I suggest that those who are looking at just one issue, you need to broaden your horizons because we have a lot at stake in this coming election. One of them, of course, being what we've been discussing, immigration. And I trust that most of you listening to this program, whether you consider yourself religious, you certainly consider that you have a streak of humanity and you care about other people if they're suffering, be it some tragedy that suddenly happened out of nowhere or just their living conditions. And you want to help, but we also have the base built in, mother protecting her cubs. You take care of your family first, and then if you can, you will help others. But with this immigration issue accelerating, you think you've seen a lot of panhandlers on the streets? That is going to escalate dramatically. And there'll be more children sitting beside them in the heat of the sun. And you may try to tell them their jobs right over there. They're offering jobs, but they were no habla English or anything else. In some cases, they don't want to take a job, and they fear that if they do, they might be found and deported in the future, if not now. I'm looking at a piece from John Martin, the director of the Opportunity Center for the Homeless in El Paso, Texas. In El Paso, he said, there is a humanitarian crisis in our city. We've never seen the situation as critical. We're already overwhelmed. We're expecting the worst as Title 42 is lifted. He said, we've got several partners within the community. All of the emergency shelters are operating at or over capacity. We have the Opportunity Center for the Homeless, and we got 200 inside that shelter, 800 outside the shelter, camped in the alley. Have you been in El Paso, Texas in the summer? Even this early in the year? It can be hot, hot, hot. You could be in the shade and you're sweating. So we do care about these people, but why are they coming for a new job opportunity? If that's why they're coming, it's because the Biden administration has indicated if you get across the border, you stay here. And are they going to contribute or be a drain? And I hate to look at people in that fashion, but Canada does. If you want to get into Canada, you got to prove that you can do something that's going to help them. They have a merit program. You have to meet certain standards if you're going to come in. The other issue, of course, is all the transgender push. A lot of that's going to be focusing in school board elections, local elections of that type. We now have, according to a new report in New York Magazine, 18 states in the union have banned transgenders in women's sports or started initiatives to ban them in the sports. This was a New York review of at least New York Magazine review of at least 28 states across the country. And out of those 28, 18 have already banned, others are preparing. As the report concluded, Republicans are remaking the American classroom. We're not remaking it, we're making it as it were, as it should be. It is not a place to teach kids to hate because of color of skin. It is not a place to say you should be feeling guilty because of the color of your skin. It should not be a place where you even pick on someone who believes that they are having a difficult time with their sexual identity. But in too many times, this is just, for many kids, it's a trend. It's a fashion. I want to be with the in crowd. The same thing with the lesbian gay movement. Are those who are truly committed to it and that will be their life? Yes. But right now, when they keep pushing in the face of our children that are too young to even understand, It's grooming, clearly grooming. I want to share part of an article by John Daniel Davidson. We've had him on numerous times before. Couldn't get him today. His schedule pretty loaded. He's a senior editor at The Federalist, often writes also for the Wall Street Journal. And he says, you want to know what the real issue is going to be in 2024? The culture war is not the most important issue of 2024. It's the only issue. He said Republicans complaining about this have no idea what time it is or what kind of leadership this moment demands. He said just complaining about the culture war, you got to realize this is going to be the issue. It's tied to so many other items. He said the GOP, he's quoting at this point Carrie Lake in her campaign, saying no one is saying not to fight the culture war, but simply not making it the most critical issue heading into 2024 is wrong. And he's basically saying that while she says that, we got to have a stronger, in fact, actually she's suggesting that we need to take our culture back from Joe Biden and his friends, but it's not the most critical issue. He denies that. He said, no, actually it is. He said, put simply, the big mistake in thinking the culture war is not the most critical issue heading into 2024 is that all of America is involved in a culture war, religious war, battle between good and evil, or all of the above. All of it has to do with culture. And of course, then you have to deal with your daily bills. And the government supposedly is just dealing with its bills at your expense. Stand by, please. Take a good look at your lawn. You're probably going to find some issues. That's when you contact Allen Outdoor Solutions. They have a solution for everything. Steve and his team are experts in irrigation, landscaping, outdoor lighting, lawn care, for home or business. Visit the Allen Outdoor Solutions website. You'll be amazed at the beauty and quality of work. Get a free quote, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com, or call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Once again, we're seeing wages falling behind the rate of inflation. And so for the 2.5 years that Biden has been in office, the average American family has lost about $3,500 to $4,000 in income in terms of real purchasing power. So basically what I'm saying is that month after month, Biden is making American workers, American families poor, not richer, poor. And that's showing up in the polling. Americans, 70% of Americans say the economy is heading in the wrong direction because they feel it with their own finances.
You know that. You see that in your own finances, do you not? And trying to plan your family budget, assuming you're actually planning a budget and not just having on the spur say, what can we do today to get to tomorrow? Many folks, unfortunately, are living almost not only paycheck to paycheck, but hand to mouth. And now we have a flood of illegals that will be coming into the country, going after other resources and jobs that might be available. And wages will not be going up. They will be going down. Why would someone like a franchise food operation, which now has a sign in front paying $20 an hour, paid at the end of the week, trying to get people to come in just to be there for them. Those signs will be dropping off. I'm not saying they'll go as low as 12, but they'll be dropping because if you won't do the work, someone else will do it and do it cheaper. And by the way, when you look at jobs like that, and this is not to dismiss service, restaurant-type workers, waiters, things, not at all. Both of my daughters worked as waitresses at a time, and I think, in fact, I did during college. I think everybody at some point should have that job so you understand what they go through and appreciate the tips. But what is going to happen, it's going to hit those who are the poorest hardest because they're likely to lose their job. If we're not going to be even validating the person that gets a job should be here, then they're definitely going to give them. The big corporations, they're more than glad to have this happen. And that's just on that level. And then, of course, we have the issue over, by the way, you were listening then when he was talking about how difficult things are. You're listening to Stephen Moore. He's a Freedom Works economist, Freedom Works. I want to make sure you always understand the source. I never try to hide anything from you. It's a conservative libertarian advocacy group and does assist in various campaigns and basically political representation and pushing good economic legislation, not something pie in the sky, which he's going to explain in a moment how we are where we are with this inflation. But the other thing we have right now facing us right now is the debt ceiling. Now, supposedly, Biden is meeting with representatives of the Republican Party when he kept stalling off, suggesting he wasn't going to. And Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, has been yelling, I know, I hear it, that this could severely damage the U.S. if we lose our standing because we default on our loans. I'm looking at a piece written just in the last week by Scott Newman from NPR. Again, I go to all sources. I don't just go to conservative sources. I go to all sources. And whether they are dealing with something factually or they're adding some adjectives that clearly give you their view, I look for those as well. But this is a pretty good analysis of the fight over the debt ceiling and how we got here. Pointing out that President Biden and Republicans in Congress are on a partisan collision course over raising the debt ceiling, legislative mandated limit on how much U.S. can borrow. The clock is ticking. $31.4 trillion is our debt. Your debt today, your grandchildren's debt tomorrow, and their grandchildren's debt at this rate. And he says, even in this, he says, the Department of Treasury, again, this is from NPR, the Department of Treasury is using accounting gimmicks or extraordinary measures to pay the government's bills. But if Congress fails to act, the government would default, as Janet Yellen has been warning. Now, of course, every year, almost every year, the government spends more than it collects in taxes. We know that. That's the deficit. So to make up the difference, then you've got to find a way to get the money. You borrow it if you can't do anything else. You can't probably put down cash on your home, so you take out a mortgage. You borrow. That accumulates over time, but you have a fixed rate unless you take a variable rate, and you kind of know what your house payment is going to be, and then if you want to keep the home, that's what you have to do. They do point out here that in the last 50 years, there have been only a handful of years when our government did not spend more than it collected in taxes. But then big increases in recent years have come not only from spending to combat COVID-19. That is true, but again, we don't know if all that money was properly and well spent. And the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and he does not add in here, but I'd say Ukraine too. We continue to dump money into Ukraine. But also to cover the rising medical cost of an aging population. and to fund all the other services from highways to national parks. Tax revenue has not kept pace with that spending, in part because of tax cuts, which were approved during the George W. Bush administration and extended in some cases by the Obama administration and the Trump administration. But by contrast, tax increases passed during the first Bush administration and the Clinton administration helped set the stage for those rare budget surpluses. Do you remember that? We had a budget surplus in 98 and 2001. Social Security, often referred to as mandatory spending, and Medicare, the same. They are considered the biggest contributors to the debt. They operate on autopilot, don't have to be approved each year. Mandatory spending accounts like these account for 63% of the total budget. Other programs fall under discretionary spending, 63% of the total budget. But I want to take a moment to stop from this article and remind you. Discretionary means exactly that. And right now, too much discretionary, as it has in the past, will often have pork added to it. Yeah, we want to spend money for this. It's a good idea, but hey, while you're doing that, let me tack this on too. And somebody else comes in. I want my piece of pork. And another one comes in. And pretty soon, it's out of control. It's simple economics. You know that with your own family. When it comes to your checkbook, what you can spend, what you can't. I mean, there's nothing worse than you go to the bank and they say, you don't have any more money. What do you mean I don't have more money? I've still got checks. Well, you had the checks, but there's no money in there. That's where we are at this point. The Republicans have proposed raising the debt ceiling 1 year, but also a lot of cuts. Biden administration to date has been, don't even talk about it. We're not going to have any debt ceiling, and we're certainly going to do any cuts. So you don't want, basically, as an individual, you might be told, okay, you maxed out that credit card. What do you say we give you a new credit card, and you start over? In the back of your mind, and probably to the credit card company that you left, where's our money? You're not going to be getting it unless you want to go through extraordinary measures and possibly into bankruptcy. There are some ways around the debt ceiling crisis. But again, when you look at how much interest is paid on the debt, that continues to accelerate. There was at one time a record low, just 1.6%. Now it's 6%. But I'll remind you, back in the 90s, for those who might remember that, it was at 15%. And I remember before that, when you bought a CD, a certificate of deposit, you put $10,000 in, they would give you basically 22%, 19 to 22% return on that money if you kept it in for that period of time. Not many of us had a lot of money at that time. We could put in $10,000, but those that did, they did very well. At that time, where they are now, who knows? But the other issue that exists within the Biden White House, FreedomWorks had done a study some months ago. Most of those, I think they found only two in the Biden White House that had any kind of economic experience. Most of them are political machinery. Most of them are political activists. Most are academics, but not economic academic. And Steve Moore even said at one point, again, the FreedomWorks economist, saying, I don't think these folks should even be running a lemonade stand, much less running our government.
But this inflation didn't happen by accident. This was a direct result of Biden coming in and spending $6 trillion that we didn't have, dumping free money out of the windows of helicopters, basically, and flooding the zone with all of these cheap dollars has made everything more expensive. So the Biden spending spree, which has really been the most reckless spending spree of any president in history, is what's caused these problems.
So see, a lot of it goes right back to the White House. Now, if you recall when Obama came in, and the economy was suffering. For two whole years, Obama blamed the Bush administration. And every day I'd say, well, when are we going to get past talking about the Bush administration and what you're doing? And he began to get a handle on it. And then, of course, when Biden comes in, things are going great with the economy. And Biden destroys it immediately by shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, by basically ripping up oil leases and threatening to close down coal mines and drilling wells anyway. And then he wonders, well, why aren't they producing more? Because you shut them down, and why should they put money into the ground that you're going to take from them anyway? The federal deficit's a real issue. Our border immigration is a real issue. And you put the two of those together, and you could have real chaos in this country. I hope you're prepared for it. I truly do. Coming up, what's the chance of DeSantis maybe winning at all, or even being a good candidate? And then the other issue is more revelations about Joe Biden and maybe a trip to Cyprus that could be a linchpin to show he got money directly. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. You want new windows for your home or business, but can you afford them? Yes, and I know you will get quality from Renewal by Anderson. Dial #250, #250, and say windows. Renewal by Anderson can help you with designs, hardware, more color options, and competitors. And Renewal listens to your desires, working within your budget. Renewal by Anderson. Dial #250. #250, and then say windows.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Why was Joe Biden there? That's where Burisma did their banking. And my evidence is that Joe Biden was there a week after his son was named on the board of Burisma. It was a nondescript trip. He didn't take any press, so I wasn't on that trip. Jake Sullivan was on that trip, and they went there to talk about Ukrainian energy security. They went there and they went to Romania. So Joe Biden is up to his neck in this criminal activity between Burisma, his son, and this whistleblower may have the evidence that says this money went directly to Joe. We saw it. If it did, it came out of Cyprus.
Came out of Cyprus. Now, this is an interesting little addendum to all the investigations going on regarding Hunter Biden laptop and some of the allegations on there about money for the big guy and all the dealings he was getting, because as he even admitted, I wouldn't have got the job if I did not have the Biden name. And there you were listening to McCormick, who is a former stenographer for the Obama administration, Mike McCormick. And he's suggesting there was a trip that Joe Biden made as vice president to go to Cyprus. Now, by his statement, the only president who had gone to Cyprus prior to him was about 50 years earlier, LBJ. And why did he go to Cyprus? He's suggesting that that is where Ukraine had some banking going on. And Burisma Energy Company had some banking in Cyprus. And he points out that he did not take any reporters with him. The stenographer was not taken, which he normally would be going with the president to document right down details of it. What he did do, though, is take Jake Sullivan. Jake Sullivan at that time was the national security director under Joe Biden. And now he's the national security director under President Biden. So Jake Sullivan was on that plane that the vice president went to Cyprus. And the timing of it after Hunter Biden is doing deals with Burisma, Ukraine in general, China, Russia, some real strange timing that's going to have to be investigated. It is the belief, as you heard, and he said it, I've got additional information that I've already put out before this whistleblower and others have come forward that said basically the same thing, that there's got to be some evidence of money that went direct to Joe that does not exist in U.S. banking. Now, that would make sense. We know there are 150-plus SARS reports involving the Biden family. SARS reports are suspicious activity reports the banks are required to file. They must file them. They have to raise the flag, find out where did the money come from, what's the purpose, they're trying to look for money laundering, terrorists, and so forth, drug operations. But caught in the snare, possibly, is the Biden family. And every time they raised a SARS report, they were told, put it down. We don't care. Well, now we have the congressional committees in the House that want to take a look at these. Jim Jordan, Judiciary Committee. James Comer, Oversight Committee. On the Senate side, you got whistleblowers from the FBI and the IRS coming to Senator Grassley and to the congressman. We're going to get some answers. And could Cyprus be the key that unlocks everything and slams the door on Biden?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
When you have to wait on something you really want, it's tough, but it's worth it. I'm talking about the opening date for Napoli C. Now, May 22. Opening day, May 22. Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have some of the finest seafood, lobster, caviar. And, of course, keep in mind, you can always find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and now Napoli C, May 22.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
DeSantis, I've been a DeSantis dissenter, as you know, from the beginning, because for that very reason. He's just not likable. He doesn't have the performance skills of a Trump. I don't support Trump, but golly, can he perform? Donald Trump spent more time in the business end of a camera than any politician since Reagan. He knows what to do. He knows how to perform. And DeSantis, he dances like a guy who learned how in Arthur Murray's. It's like, one, two, three, one, two. He's a klutz and a clod, and he's not at all likable, and he's going nowhere.
Huh. So says Paul Begala. A CNN analyst and, of course, a political advisor for Democrats. See, I don't even like Trump, but DeSantis is worse. What a klutz. What a clod. He can't go do anything, go anywhere. Well, that may end up being true. And, of course, you look at the real clear politics of polls, looking at all the polls bringing them together. Trump currently enjoys a single-point lead over Biden. If the election were held today, the poll of polls says Trump would beat Biden nationally 44-43%. That's very close, despite the numbers have been showing Biden is not doing that well. And if Trump beats him nationally, he would almost certainly win the Electoral College. If you recall, he won the Electoral College in 2016, although he lost the national populist vote to Hillary Clinton by 2%, and that's why she started saying, we need to get rid of the Electoral College. I was elected by the people. That's assuming everyone who voted was legal. And I will not make that assumption. So that apparently is where we're going to be going. And if you put in the real clear poll of politics, DeSantis against Biden, he is ahead, but only by 1.6 points. None of this says anything right now other than trends and possible thoughts right now. What counts, of course, is election day. And I encourage you that you make sure you are voting this time around. Do not sit on the sideline. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.